Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Maybe I could borrow one of the cameras we have trained on the green room, because I don't think they're being used.
Is there one in here, Steve? Steve's pointing out.
Just the one on the computer screen there in front of you.
Oh, this one. Yeah, I think that one is potentially supposed to be in use, though, right?
We do use that.
Okay.
We use it on the weekends.
But in the green room, we have two, so I thought maybe I could use one of those to put eyes on my magical dog.
Fill out form 42L and then 43Y and then 51J and then wait 2 to 6 weeks and then possibly.
We'll see if you get confirmation first.
Exactly. Yes. And that takes another form to confirm that you got the confirmation.
Yeah, that's right. Coming up on the back half of today's show, we will welcome Ted Dabrowski to his reserved seat at the News Roundtable. Ted, along with Mark Glennon and Representative Jeannie Ives, on Tuesday, went and talked with the Cities and Villages Committee at the House of Representatives in Springfield. Jeannie Ives has some legislation that has been introduced to allow municipalities to declare bankruptcy. We've talked before about WirePoint's study on their numbers on pensions and how they are heroically underfunded around the states. And it all started with Harvey, but obviously it's not going to end with Harvey. And we've shared with you the numbers from other cities that are ridiculously low and that they are heading in this direction as well. So we contacted Ted, said, would you like to come on and talk about this? And he said, yes. So we'll have him on the back half of today's show on the News Roundtable. First things first, in with all the news from around the tri-states this morning, fresh from the WTAD newsroom, we say good morning to Scott Hardy.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. In a WTAD exclusive, labor from illegal aliens may have been used to build Quincy's newest elementary schools. Quincy Superintendent Roy Webb confirmed to WTAD this morning that a Southeast Iowa company raided by immigration officials earlier this week did provide precast concrete panel walls for the Quincy School District construction project. A U.S. Customs and Enforcement agent said officials took 32 people into custody during a raid in Midwest Precast Concrete in Mount Pleasant, Iowa on Wednesday. The agency says the suspected illegal immigrants came from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Mexico. A Quincy man has been arrested on charges that he hit a woman with his van Wednesday morning in the district. Quincy police identify the man as 21-year-old Patrick Lambert and say the incident happened just after 11:30 a.m. Wednesday in an alley between 3rd and 4th Streets, just south of Main Street, and yes, Quaid, that is visible right outside our window. Police say in a statement that they learned that a white vehicle driven by Lambert had hit a female pedestrian, then a vehicle, before leaving the scene going north on 4th Street. That unidentified woman was taken to the Blessing Hospital ER for treatment of her injuries. Police say that Lambert was found several hours later at 4th and Maiden Lane. He was arrested on charges of aggravated battery and leaving the scene of a personal injury traffic accident. He's in the Adams County Jail. He'll likely have a bond hearing sometime today. Illinois 18th District Congressman Darren LaHood has introduced legislation that will help an American Legion post in Quincy. On Tuesday, LaHood introduced H.R. 5708, which would transfer a one-acre parcel of land in Quincy to the American Legion Post number 37. That land's currently owned by the General Services Administration. The land is part of the old Army Reserve Center on 36th Street, which the post donated to the government in the 1950s. Now, what they want to do, basically, Legion Post 37 wants to use that land for a larger post headquarters, which would allow them to upgrade their resources for local vets, but they weren't able to do that because the GSA had it, and GSA would normally get rid of the land through a public auction, but since no one else is interested, there is a provision in the law where members of Congress can introduce legislation to tell the GSA to parcel land for a specific property transfer, so that's what Representative LaHood has done, so we'll keep our eye on that for you. Palmyra School District may ask voters next year to decide on a bond issue. Palmyra Board Tuesday night discussed moving forward with that bond issue in April 2019. The board says that the bond, which would not increase taxes, would be used to improve district facilities. Now, a facilities committee will be formed this summer to review and prioritize what the district needs. And those needs were compiled last fall during a strategic planning process that involved district staff, parents, and the community. Board also learned that the 2018-2019 preliminary budget will reflect a 1.5% increase in local revenues. State revenue amounts, well, we should find that out today since the Missouri state budget has been approved, so we should find out exactly what that is going to be. Two people, one of them a MoDOT road crew worker, were seriously hurt Wednesday morning in Clark County. The Missouri State Highway Patrol identifies the men as 24-year-old Justin Flockhart of Keokuk and 41-year-old Timothy Glasgow of Canton. They say the accident happened at 6:30 a.m. on U.S. 61, 4 miles south of Alexandria. A report says that Glasgow's truck was partly on the highway while he was out setting cones to mark off a work area. Flockhart's vehicle hit the truck from behind, causing it to run over Glasgow. Both men were air evac to Blessing Hospital with those serious injuries. A Mount Sterling police officer has been fired. KHQA-TV's Chad Douglas has more.
A Mount Sterling police officer has been fired at the mayor's request. That's according to Police Chief Brandon Norris. Chief Norris tells KHQA there was no reasoning stated on the termination paperwork. The officer is expected to appeal the termination at the next city council meeting, which is set for May 21st. KHQA left a message with Mayor Matt Bradbury on Wednesday for comment, but we have not heard back from him at this time.
Thank you, Chad. And a couple of things coming up here also. IDOT District 6 says that the westbound driving lane of Illinois 104 is closed about 3 miles east of Quincy. They are repairing a bridge joint there, and the closure is expected to last through all of next week. So, again, that's Illinois 104 east, 3 miles east of Quincy. Also, latest from the Associated Press, Missouri Governor Eric Greitens is in a St. Louis courtroom for the first day of jury selection in his felony invasion of privacy trial. We all know what he's being tried about. Jury selection got underway this morning. It'll last probably today and tomorrow, and then testimony will start on Monday. The AP says that Greitens arrived in a car with darkened windows and entered the courthouse through a controlled entryway. Greitens, of course, acknowledged the affair, and he has called that charge a witch hunt. Of course, that's not the only charge that he is facing. Interesting thing with the state budget. The Missouri legislature is being very selective on what bills they actually send to the governor. They're not sure which ones they want him or to sign and which ones they don't. Now, obviously, the budget they need to have signed. So
the budget as a whole.
Right.
Interesting. You've done you've covered several trials. You keep up with these. Has there been any type of prediction as to how many days this will go on? Are they talking about a week? Are they talking about just a few days?
I would think a week at the very minimum. Okay. I could, you know. But then again, since they don't have the photo in question, and a lot of the is going to be on circumstantial evidence, it's going to be based basically on testimony. So, I mean.
And without, let me ask you this. Without the photo itself, we've always said that the photo was the key. Without the photo itself, I would think that there would be, they would have to rely on an abundance of circumstantial evidence. So they will provide more than that, because if you just had the photo, you would go, Exhibit A, here you go. And then you'd put some stuff in there to back it up. Not that I'm a trial lawyer, but just thinking logically about it, without that, you're going to need more to try and make your case.
Well, and some of the stuff that you said, the quote, stuff to back it up, the prosecution may have obtained that yesterday because they conducted a forensic exam of the governor's cell phone and were wanting to also look into his Gmail account. So they may be, if they find anything in that, they may be able to basically, you know, get him right up to the photo in terms of presenting the steps of evidence, saying
without the image itself.
Right. Saying this happened on this date and this witness testified that that they were here on this date, and then, you know, the phone records show that this happened at this time right after being, so they could basically piece it together without the photo.
I get you.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking at there. Of course, we'll have a lot more for you this afternoon, including a possible verdict, a possible sentence or not in the Ben Train case. He is in court at this hour, and defense is asking for a new trial there. Case of Jason Lagg, who was convicted of murder over in Fulton in Monroe County. Supposed to be sentencing going on that today and a lot more. Here on WTAD.com and on Twitter at 9:30 a.m. WTAD.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. We'll take a timeout. And when we come back, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints will join us. Is obviously Harvey's just the beginning, but is Harvey the future of Illinois? We'll get into it next on the News Roundtable.
WTAD.
Welcome back to the News Roundtable, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We welcome back to his reserve seat at the News Roundtable from WirePoints.com. Ted Dabrowski, it has been a busy week for you, sir.
Well, it has. You know, as things get worse and worse in Illinois, we hate spreading bad news, but things aren't looking too good. And before we can fix problems, we have to realize how bad they are, and then we find solutions.
Yeah, you're essentially the one, along with Representative Jeannie Ives and Mark Glennon, blowing the horn of crisis that is sounding firstly in Harvey, but more and more in different municipalities around the state. On Tuesday, were you in Springfield or were you in Chicago in front of the House of Representatives Cities and Villages Committee? To talk about Jeannie Ives' proposal about municipal bankruptcy? Is that why you were there, or talking about the state's position?
We were there in Springfield, and in front of the committee was a bill that would allow cities who are in trouble to look at bankruptcy as a tool. And so as part of that discussion, of course, that all came up because of Harvey's problems, where Harvey had a part of his tax dollars confiscated or garnished by the state, by the comptroller. And when that happened, Harvey had to fire a bunch of police and firemen. And so that scared everybody. And, of course, it led to more research into what's happening, and it doesn't look good.
And it isn't just Harvey. We referenced an article that WirePoints put out a few weeks ago that cites, and full with statistics and graphs, that East St. Louis is having definite problems. Kankakee, Danville, certainly. But we even talked yesterday. There was a story yesterday that Evanston, while trying to put together its upcoming fiscal year budget, is going to have to cut services and maybe positions for police and firemen. Now, I don't know that necessarily has to do with pensions, but the way everything else is going on around the state, I have to think that that's part of the big problem there, too.
Well, so, you know, once this Harvey thing happened at WirePoints, we decided, we knew that a lot of cities aren't paying their full required payments into the police and fire funds. And so we researched the data and found that of the 400 pension funds in Illinois, of the 650 police and fire pension funds in Illinois, 400 did not get their full payment, which means that about 200 municipalities shorted those pension funds. And that means the state could start garnishing money, that means taking away money, which would lead to significant problems in many cities. And so that was a scary part. And so we started looking at that and then looked at more of the variables. And, you know, really what's happening is the Illinois legislature either wants to deny, doesn't want people to know, but they're not telling the truth about the severity of what's happening. And that's what we're trying to get out so that we can get the right reforms.
Do you think this has to do with this, and this is going to sound cynical, but do you think it has to do with this being an election year?
Oh, absolutely not. I think, well, no, because, you know, they've ignored the problems every year, so I don't think election is anything special. If you look at just what's happening in the numbers in East Moline and Rock Island, for example, you know, those pension plans, if you're worried about your police and firemen, you should be worried about their pensions because they're dramatically underfunded. If they were private sector funds, they would have been bankrupt a long time ago. The debt in those per taxpayer or per household is jumping, And, you know, and that's after taxpayers are more and more of their money from Moline and Rock Island as more and more of their money goes into pensions. So it's a really bad scenario. And we have to remember we're in a bull period right now. This is about as good as it gets economically you know, with the stock markets and all that. So when things do slow down, what's going to happen to finances in cities?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Our guest this morning, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com. The Supreme Court here in the state several years ago has said that these pensions are sacrosanct. They come before everything else. And eventually, though, those pensions, if they are the things that get paid first, eventually when we run out of money, there's not going to be anything there for them. Isn't it in the best interest of those pensioners to kind of help come up with a solution to this problem so that there's nothing, so that there's not nothing in the future for them?
Yeah, well, and you hit it right on the head. It's you know, people say, hey, you can't talk about reforms. You're trying to hurt policemen and firemen. We're saying, well no. If you don't do something, there's going to be less and less money. Taxpayers are going to keep leaving. Home values are struggling to stay up. Household incomes are, you know, everybody in East Moline, Rock Island, and Moline, all of their incomes in the last decade are lower today than they were then. And that's, they haven't kept up with inflation. So you've got a really tough situation. So if you don't do reforms, eventually you're going to see policemen and firemen fired. They'll lose, not only will they lose their you know, future pensions, but they'll lose their jobs. So it behooves all of us to work together on this. You know, it's really, you know, nobody's winning right now, as I was saying in Springfield. Nobody is winning. Everybody's losing. And it's worse in some cities than other. You know, if you go to Danville, you see it. Obviously, if you go to Harvey, you see the destruction that's going on there. You know, from the numbers I see in Moline and Rock Island, you know, things are holding steady with regard to household value, house values and household incomes. But the pressure is really on because in those cities there, about 20% of the budget is now supposed to go to pensions, and that's not sustainable.
Yeah, you're speaking in front of the House Cities and Villages Committee earlier this week, and some of them, in the middle of you giving your testimony, actually just got up and left because they didn't agree or they couldn't stand to hear it or it's too difficult.
Well, you know, it's amazing. You know, when you take someone like Representative Chapalavia from Aurora, you know, part of her community does well, but part of her community is struggling. And to the extent that you know, she wasn't interested enough to listen to this and to really understand the problems, I think nobody's really presenting the facts, and that's what we're trying to do at WirePoints. We're trying to show the numbers, you know, the facts. Let's get the facts on the table, and when you look at them and when you see how much in the last 15 years, which is what we've studied, what the finances have done across the state, it is alarming, and you would expect that they would be, one, very interested in that, and two, let's debate the issue. Let's get it all out on the table, but can't happen if they're not there.
Our guest is Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com this morning. Michigan has gone through a similar thing, and they were allowed eventually to adjust their constitution to allow municipalities to declare bankruptcy.
That's right. You know, you got about half of the states in the country that allow some kind of local bankruptcy, and it's done under federal law. And so you've seen, of course, Detroit. You know, obviously it's the obvious one, but you know, you've seen you know, cities in California, a handful. You've seen one in Alabama, Rhode Island. Look, just because you have the right to or the option to go bankrupt doesn't mean that lots of places do. But what it does do is it does enter into the negotiation stage of things when either debtors or unions are being too tough, and it does allow a place like Harvey who really has, you know, they have nothing left. They have no assets left to sell. They can't really tax their people anymore. They're stuck, and they need an option, something like bankruptcy, to help them get back and get back on track so that, you know, they can become a viable city once again. But without it, they can't become one. They're stuck.
Yeah, and it's not for every municipality, but there are some who are definitely in that place. There are other options. We've talked about the, and I know you have, you've championed the 401k option for pensioners around the state, and it's something that is an option for many who work for the state. They just need to choose to get into it. One of the things, and I want to mention this before because we're short on time, I stopped by WirePoints this morning, and the Chicago Fed has decided that the proper reaction to our pension crisis is a 1% state property tax.
It's unbelievable, right? It's, you know, we already pay the highest property taxes in the nation, and for the Chicago Fed to ignore the real roots of the problem, which is what we've been trying to get to, which is just incredible growth in these pension liabilities, they want to just tax everybody, and they say, yeah, it'll hurt home values, but that's okay, and, you know, if somebody wants to come from out of state, they'll be able to buy their house cheaper because the taxes are higher. It's an incredible thing. I encourage people to read it and then try to figure out how the Chicago Fed could side with something like that. It's just more, you know, more pain for Illinoisans and more reason for people to leave.
Ted Dabrowski, always a good time when you're on. I mean good time in that we have a good discussion, not that we're talking about great stuff. If you want to see what the Chicago Fed has proposed, if you want to see the article Beyond Harvey, Illinois municipalities running out of options. You can find all of that at wirepoints.com. Ted Dabrowski, thank you for joining us again this morning.
Well, Quay, thank you for having us, and hopefully we're going to fix things and make, you know, have better stories to tell.
Yes, that is the Thursday edition of the News Roundtable. We'll be back in here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Travis Aiken will be joining us tomorrow morning. You should, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.